Blake.
Here.
Bonner.
Here.
Brechtel.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Buchanan.
Here.
Byrd.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Carson. Carson.
Here.
Childers.
Here.
Cohey.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Davison.
Here.
Dirks.
Here.
Edmonds.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Gilmore.
Here.
Gingery.
Here.
Goggles.
Here.
Hales.
Here.
Hallinan.
Here.
Hammonds.
Here.
Harshman.
Here.
Harvey.
Here.
Illaway.
Here.
Yagi.
Here.
Jorgensen.
Here.
Landon.
Here.
Lockhart excused. Lubno.
Here.
Madden.
Here.
McKim.
Here.
McComey.
Here.
Mercer.
Here.
Meyer.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Millen.
Here.
Moniz.
Here.
Patton.
Here.
Peasley.
Here.
Pedersen.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Philp.
Here.
Korberg.
Here.
Roscoe.
Here.
Simlick.
Here.
Shepperson.
Here.
Stewart.
Here.
Stubson.
Here.
Teeters.
Here.
Thompson.
Here.
Throne. Throne. Wallace.
Here.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Here.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Here.
Mr. Speaker.
Here.
59 present, 1 excused.
The prayer today is again by Roger Arand, representing North Christian Church in Cheyenne.
Would you join me as we pray? Lord God, we come to you this day to recognize you as the creator of both heaven and earth, and in that, to not take lightly your counsel in the affairs of humankind. History has shown that when a people who are upon the earth follow your direction, that they receive your blessing, and that is what we seek today. For these men and women who have been given the responsibility for the direction and the welfare of the people of Wyoming, I ask, Lord, that you grant to them understanding of your will in the decisions that need to be made today. I don't know what needs to be done, but you do. And I also believe, Lord, that these folks have a desire to serve the state of Wyoming to the very best of their ability, and that in the end, their desire is that Wyoming be a better place because of their efforts. So, Lord, we know that man oftentimes thinks he knows best, but we also know that man can error and make mistakes, but you make no mistakes. So whether the decisions are those that are moral, ethical, or economic, you have a plan. I ask, Lord, that you make it clear to each and every one of these folks today. It is an awesome responsibility to serve others, so we pray your blessings, your direction, and your guidance in these folks' lives today as they serve the state of Wyoming and its people. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray these things. Amen.
Amen. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning, Bill. Roger, thanks for being here again.
Certainly.
See you tomorrow.
Will the House please come to order? Hi, Bob. The nurse of the day, Jan Cruzy from Cheyenne Regional Medical Center and Kathy Vasco from the Youth Challenge Program. Nurses. Journal Committee Report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 17th has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Moniz, Representative Barbuto.
Messages from the Senate.
Message number 250. Mr. Speaker, the Senate adopted the Committee of the Whole report failing the bills listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill 102, Excise Tax Vendor Compensation. Ayes 12, no 17. Signed, Diana Williams. The bill has been indefinitely postponed. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 251. Mr. Speaker, the Senate adopted the Committee of the Whole report failing the bills listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill 94, Attorneys Requirements for Admission to the Bar. Ayes 11, no 17. The bill has been indefinitely postponed. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 23, engrossed, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Hammonds, Harshman, Jorgensen, Pedersen, Phelps, Stewart, signed representing Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 37, engrossed, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Hammonds, Harshman, Jorgensen, Pedersen, Philp, no, Stewart, signed representing Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 42, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Pedersen, Philp, Stewart, no, Hammonds, Harshman, Jorgensen, signed representing Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 73, engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Berger, Hammonds, Harshman, Jorgensen, Pedersen, Philp, no, Stewart, signed representing Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom is referred Senate File 14, engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Bonner, Brown, Childers, Connolly, Davison, Yagi, Millen, Shepperson, Thompson, signed Representative Childers, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom is referred Senate File 60, engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Carson, Cohey, Gilmore, Hallinan, Madden, McKim, Peterson, Swanitzer, Dave, signed Representative Cohey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, to whom was referred Senate File 115, engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Brechtel, Byrd, Harvey, Lockhart, Meyer, Moniz, Roscoe, Stubson, Zwanitzer, Dave, signed Representative Stubson, Vice Chairman.
Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Two items. Y'all got an invitation this afternoon for a reception down in the Secretary of State's office in regard to Peggy Niswanger being elected, newly elected president of the National Association of State Election Directors. That reception is from 3:30 to 5:30. I'm sure that she would love to see anybody that can get down. And the second thing is that Saturday night, this Saturday night at 7:30, the Cheyenne Symphony will be playing Stravinsky and Shostakovich, and it begins at 7:30 in the Civic Center. It will be a great program. If you're able, I know they have tickets. Just feel free to call the Civic Center box office. Thank you.
Representative Millen, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In your boxes, you will find some information on the legislative blood drive. That is going to be held Friday. They moved it from outside of the Capitol till now it's going to be in the Hirschler building in the atrium. Friday from 10 to 2. There's a number on here to call if you want to set up an appointment, but you can just show up and take your driver's license just to prove who you are, and they'll take your blood. And it's for a worthwhile cause. And then also, my good colleague from Natrona County and I are still collecting donations for the Komen Race for the Cure. We only have 18 checks. There are 60 of us here. I think you can get out your checkbooks and just give me a check. You don't even have to fill out this form. You don't have to go to the race. We'll just take a donation, and we'd really appreciate it. Thank you.
Mr. Minority Whip, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To my right, ladies and gentlemen of the 60th, I have a constituent that lives in that little town where they make all these great big steaks. She's with the Wind River Alliance as the director. I'd like you to welcome Jolene Carton.
Welcome to the House, Jolene. We're at that order of business of bills on second reading. Excuse me, Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
I just wanted to bring to everybody's attention a packet of information that was in your box today from the 211 Laramie County or 211 Partnership. Representative Millen and I are both participants in this cooperative Laramie County community effort to bring 211 service to the state of Wyoming. 211 is basically an information line that's available in nearly every state except ours, that allows folks to have a basically one-stop shopping for needed services. And this is a project you'll hear more about in the future, but we wanted to start bringing it to everyone's attention. And really, my good friend from Laramie County knows more about it than I do. But we're both involved, and be happy to answer any questions once you have an opportunity to look at the material. Thank you.
Thank you. The first bill for our consideration on second reading is Senate File 5.
Senate File 5, introduced by the Travel Committee and Act relating to state parks and cultural resources regarding South Pass City.
Senate File 5 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 17.
Senate File 17, introduced by the Mental Health Committee, an act relating to mental health and substance abuse services and appropriations.
Representative Davis Wanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move first reading amendment to Senate File 17. Senate File 17. This amendment, basically, we talked about the mental health issue yesterday on the Senate File 17, in that it was funding the program for a year and then putting it into the standard budget. My amendment would fund that program through June of 2012, which would allow them to get a good start. Obviously takes effect in July of this year, then so they'd have a solid 2 years before we come back to that 2012 meeting. And then it also states that we will not put it as part of the standard budget. So I know they've had some pilot programs on this project, and this amendment says I think it's a good project to put into place. It gives it 2, maybe 3 years to get her going, but it would require somebody to come back and say, hey, this is a super project, and then I think would have a lot more details rather than just going on one pilot program. And I would ask for your favorable consideration. Thank you.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would urge you to vote no on this amendment. We've done the pilot projects. We've proven that this works. We're now trying to implement the program across the state. The difficulty is you have to hire people, and you have to commit to those people that you're actually going to be running a program. I'm not sure how many people you're going to be able to hire if you tell them that you only have funding for the next year. Well, or maybe it's the next year or two. I didn't quite understand if it was for the next 2 years or just next year. They need some commitment that we really are going to do this and that we're not just going to shut them down in 2 years from now. And particularly the community that we're sitting in here today, they've done an amazing job. They've really set up a good program. They're saving the state money. And for us to tell them that we're potentially going to shut them down, I think is sending the wrong message. They've proven in this community here that they do a good job. And once we've proven pilot projects work, we should fund them. And, if in a few years we don't think this thing's working, then you come back and delete out the money. But to tell them we're only giving them a little bit for a little while, and then we're going to yank it away from this city that we're sitting in here, I just think it's the wrong way to go. And in particularly with the basin area with that $770,000, they're raring to go. They need to get up and running and start helping the mentally ill in that community. And I'm not sure if they'll even take the money if we tell them it's only for the next year or two, because then they have no commitment. It's hard to hire people, for people to leave other jobs and come to work at another place if there's not funding sort of guaranteed across the board. I'd urge you to vote no.
Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I stand in support of the amendment. I think what it's doing more than anything else is just signaling that we have some caution about installing things into a standard budget. You know, I think it's showing that we're responsible. It doesn't say that we won't fund it in, I think it's like three more years. I'd urge the body to consider this amendment strongly.
Representative Hammonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. With regard to the development of this, the alternative that we have existing right now in that northwestern part of the state is that the first alternative is that you would put someone at a psychotic crisis moment, you would put them in the hospital. Well, our hospitals refuse them. They have sent them to apparently Billings, and it's my understanding that Billings is suing for $1 million in terms of back payment. And so you can see the kind of dilemma that we face. The next step, if the hospital won't take them, and indeed the hospitals aren't taking them in that region, is that they can call the facility in Casper. And we have a number of documented instances where the facility in Casper said, well, you don't have a contract with us. It's in the middle of the night, and basically hangs up on the people calling. And so what we have had in the current practice is to put people who are mentally unstable in our jails. That is what we are doing in the year 2009, is we are putting people who are having mental breakdowns into our jails. And so the bill before you is simply saying that for that region of the state, and this has been studied since I've been in the legislature, that as we move towards a regional approach, that they have selected this region itself has agreed that the place, the community where they would be putting this, and so that community, which happens to be my community, is currently doing fundraising. They're talking about lines of credit from the bank. They're doing everything they can in terms of gathering the money in order to have an up-and-going facility. The difficulty with not funding this with a continuation is how can they raise money from individuals? How can they get lines of credit from banks if there isn't the hope that this is a permanent situation? We have a crisis going on in our part of the state that is, in today's world, unacceptable. This is a reasonable solution, and I would hope for that reason that I understand that the amendment as proposed is well intended, but its consequences are basically to kill the bill and to, in essence, continue to have individuals in this crisis situation be held in our jails until we can get them to the state hospital, which I fully believe is not acceptable in this year. For that reason, I'll be voting against the amendment, and I would encourage you to do so also.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Madam Majority Whip. I hardly agree with the good representative's comments from Worland. While it is good intentioned, and many times I'm supportive of amendments like this, supportive of them, this is one where regionalization in the mental health and substance abuse area that we've worked on over the last 3 years was a critical component, and we have not met the goals for regionalization. To put limits on it, you see what happened when we tried to attach the AML funding stream on a couple projects. Commitments are made based on anticipated revenues, and now is not the time with these regionalization dollars to make them contingent on having to come back and reappropriate the money. We can certainly review it coming back here, and if we think that the pilot projects are not working, then we can take it out of the standard budget. But let's not make it contingent and interfere with the ability of those projects to go forward. This is a particularly critical one in Northwest Wyoming. Thank you. Anyone else for their first time or second time? Representative Davis-Wanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to say to my good colleagues from District 27 and 24, I do agree. I think this is a wonderful program. I do want to see it implemented. That's why I asked for funding for 4 years or 3 years, basically. But I think in this time, we need to be really conservative as to just letting our money go out. We have three sessions that we can bring this bill back and continue the appropriation. We have the 2010, the 2011, and the 2012 sessions. This bill or this amendment is basically just asking to get those programs started, and I do want to get them started. But then come back and show us the need, and if the need is greater than what they're asking for in this bill, then we can look at it then. I'm not trying to kill the bill. That is not my intention at all. We could be in for some tough times, as we've heard earlier in this session, and I think we just need to be fiscally conservative. If this is a great plan, as people have been advertising, if this is the wonderful thing to do, then we will come back. Somebody will come back and say this is extremely needed. They will come back with facts and figures, and we will make an appropriation because that will be the right thing to do. But I've seen so many bills go into certain departments and they just get lost in there. And I don't think we ever come back once we appropriate anything and say, well, no, don't think so. I want to keep pressure on them. I want to make sure that they're doing the right thing at the right time. And for that, I would ask you to vote yes on this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. We are voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 17. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 has failed. Senate File 17 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 32.
Senate File 32, introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to livestock, Wyoming Livestock Health and Emergency Disease Program.
Senate File 32 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 46.
Senate File 46, introduced by the School Facility Committee, an act relating to school buildings regarding fees and limitations.
Senate File 46 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 53.
Senate File 53, introduced by Senator Jennings, an act relating to taxation and revenue regarding property tax deferral program.
Senate File 53 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 62.
Senate File 62, introduced by Senator Ross, an act relating to Insurance Discretionary Clause Prohibition Act.
Senate File 62 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 75.
Senate File 75, introduced by the Mineral Committee, an act relating to Economic Development Account.
Senate File 75 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, would you come up, please? The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 95.
Senate File 95, introduced by Senator Ross, an act relating to insurance medical necessity review procedures.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 95. Ladies and gentlemen, when I was reviewing this bill yesterday, I noticed that subparagraph C on page 3 discussed a claim for payment of medical services. And subparagraph E on page 5 talked about a claim for medical services, procedures, or supplies. And the way that this bill needs to refer to a claim needs to be for the provision of or payment for medical services, procedures, or supplies, and not mix those terms up because that was just confusing in the bill. So page 3, line 10, and page 5, line 8, and then throughout the amendment, it clarifies that a claim can be either a claim for payment or a claim for the provision of those services and clears that up. On page 5 of the bill, page 5, line 11, this is on line 8 of the amendment, the Standing Committee amendment deleted subparagraph C and inserted D. Actually, that provision needs to refer to both C or D because both of those subsections relate to a review of the claim, not just one, and it needs to cover both of those. The next amendment is on page 7 of the bill at the bottom, line 23. This is the request for an external review, and the insurer has to do certain things. They assign the request to this independent review organization that has been approved by the insurance commissioner for the review. And I want to add the language, page 7, line 23, that would say, the insurer shall provide to the independent review organization all documents and information upon which the insurer relied in denying all claims under review. That language wasn't anywhere in the bill. The insurer has to have that obligation to provide that documentation and information so that the review can be done. And then the second sentence, failure to provide the documents and other information shall not delay the conduct of the external review. That simply came from subsection J on page 9 that I would delete. And then the last sentence, the independent review organization shall, and then it would pick up on line 23 on page 7, the independent review organization shall determine whether, and then it goes over to page 8 on the bill, and that's where we see the insertion of the words provision of or payment for to be consistent. Then on page 9 of the bill, subparagraph 8H seemed to confuse what we were asking the independent review organization to do within 5 days. It had the words complete the review on line 2. Well, we were not asking them to complete the review within 5 days. We're asking them to tell us whether they have all the documents and information they need to then conduct the review. So I'm changing page 9, line 2, beginning on line 1, it would read, the independent review organization shall determine whether the documentation is complete, or shall, within 5 days, determine whether the documentation is complete and immediately notify the claimant and the insurer in writing whether the documentation is complete and, if not, what information or documentation is missing. And then page 9, line 10, strike insured and put claimant. We've tended to mix insured and claimant in the bill, and I wanted to be consistent. Page 9, lines 14 through 19 would be deleted. There's no need for that subsection, and we've plugged one part of it into the page 7 of the bill. Subparagraph K on line 9. Now, this talks about the documentation or other information provided to the review organization. And I would make it read on line 22, by the insurer or claimant shall also be immediately provided to the adverse party. So if I, as the claimant, submit something to the organization, the insurer ought to see what I submitted, and then they can review their denial again and see whether they want to withdraw that. If the insurer provides documentation or information, I, as the claimant, should be able to have a copy of what they provide. And then it indicates it goes to the adverse party by the independent review organization, so they would send it out. And then it simply rewrites that next sentence because it was amended in so many places. The insurer may use any documentation or other information provided by the claimant to reconsider its settlement of the claims back on page 10 at the top. And it strikes the word claimant's claim. Of course, we know whose claim it is. It's the claimant's claim. We don't have to use the word claimant. Then on page 11 and 12, it's simply making those conforming changes to the for the provision of or payment for medical services. And that is the amendment. I think it strengthens the bill, clarifies the process in the bill, and it makes it clearer for people to understand how that process may work. I'd stand for any questions. Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Representative Stubson.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I don't really have any questions. I just would say that I think I agree that it does clarify the bill and cleans it up. So I think it is a friendly amendment.
Anybody else? Question being called. All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 95, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed.
First one I've got an amendment to that one, so we need a third reading.
Senate File 95 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 103.
Senate File 103, introduced by Senator Ross, an act relating to child protection, child abuse, and neglect amendments.
Representative Dan Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This time I would like to withdraw second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 103. And I'll probably bring something back on third reading when I understand what the word appear actually means in law. Thank you.
Thank you. The amendment is withdrawn. Senate File 103 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 111.
Senate File 111, introduced by Senator Schiffer, an act relating to employee retirement, first responder retirement contributions.
Representative Lubnow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 111. This bill addresses two concerns yesterday. You will see on your desk two handouts that clarify some of the there was some misinformation yesterday, and these handouts clarify that information. It gives you a list of people who are eligible. One is a letter from the Adjutant General. The other is a handout that I prepared with some other information on it that explains who's eligible, why the bill is limited to first responders, and how this bill interfaces with House Bill 162. What this amendment does is two things. There was concerns yesterday that highly paid, highly compensated individuals could eat up all of the retirement appropriations. The first part of the amendment places a $5,000 per person per year cap on those retirement contributions. The second part of the amendment clarifies the language about who a primary or who a first responder is. It says that it's a person whose primary occupation is that of a first responder, which addresses the concern about somebody who works in a coal mine and is on a rescue team. And so then would be able to claim coal mine retirement as a first responder. It's just those people primarily employed as a first responder, and that's the intent of the bill, and I'd urge your adoption of the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Pedersen.
Mr. Chairman, I wanted to speak to, I believe this is a very good amendment. When you start to take a look at highly compensated employees, because first responders also includes docs that will go over there, they are considered in that. You can have multiple plans as a practitioner. You could have a SEP with a maximum contribution of $46,000, and in addition, you could have a profit-sharing plan with a maximum contribution of $150,000. It only doesn't take too many of those to eat up the $750,000 total appropriation, so I think a cap of $5,000 is in order.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time? We are voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 11. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 is passed. Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 111 and ask for your favorable vote. This amendment addresses some of the concerns I had yesterday about those Wyoming Guard members that are deployed that are also first responders, but they're just not part of the Wyoming National Guard. They're part of some other National Guard, but they're still Wyoming residents. So this inserts them into the same program and will make them qualify for whatever the first responders in the Wyoming National Guard. The requirement is they have to be a Wyoming resident to start with. So basically, lines 6 through 13 of the amendment, the provisions of subsection E of this section shall also apply to any Wyoming resident. Again, they have to be Wyoming residents. The ones in the Wyoming National Guard can actually be residents of other states. So this is specific to Wyoming residents that are members of any National Guard that happen to be first responders in Wyoming are going to qualify from this. So, again, we'll give the adjunct general the power to come up with the rules. We tried to get some numbers over the last few days to see how many people we're talking about. We couldn't come up with the numbers. I'm not for sure exactly how they're going to implement this, but my intent is that if some Wyoming resident that's a member of a guard unit somewhere else and is a first responder and he hears about this program, he'll simply be able to go to the general and apply for the program, and the state will cover him also. So I ask for your favorable vote on this.
Representative Lebno.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I met with the general last evening. Nobody had ever asked this question before about how many Wyoming guardsmen participate in guards in other states, and the federal government doesn't keep track of it. So the Guard is diligently calling all of the surrounding states. As of 5 p.m. last night, they'd contacted 5 states, and the number of guardsmen was 9, although we anticipate that number to go up.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone else for their second time? We are voting on second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 111. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 2 is passed. Senate File 111, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, would you come up, please?
Senate File 125, having been read.
No, it hasn't been read yet. There's an amendment on it.
Oh, okay.
The next bill
is Senate File 125.
Senate File 125, introduced by the Appropriation Committee, an act relating to administration of government state employee compensation.
And Senate File 125, we have an amendment. Representative Villaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 125. Yesterday I talked about page 5 and the job evaluation and classification area. I did talk to the director of A&I. I've talked to our attorneys and back and forth. And really what I was most concerned about was job evaluation and classification, and that appears in a section that is not in here. It appears in 9-2-1022B, little 6. That's in there, but we did notice that when we were talking about this, that two words were probably taken out inadvertently when this bill was written. And so I would ask that we reinsert on page 5, line 14, the word effort, and on line 15, the word responsibility. Both A and I and our attorneys think that this is appropriate and probably was taken out inadvertently. So I ask for your favorable consideration.
Representative Chairman Berger.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, and this is a friendly amendment. Thank you.
Okay, question on the amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed. Senate file 132. Oh, Senate file 132, having been read two separate times, question is, shall it be... Senate file 125, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Now, Senate file 132.
Senate file 132, introduced by Senator Scott, an act relating to the Board of Embalming.
Senate file 132, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate file 137.
Senate file 137, introduced by Senator Massey, an act relating to public health and safety, health care rehabilitation facility.
Senate file 137, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. And stand at ease just a second.
Did he start second, third reading?
No.
We are at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage, regular list. Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I just wanted to say Senate File 110 will be the first bill we'll hear on third reading. There's a corrected amendment coming out on Senate File 19. So we are on Senate File 110. Senate File 110.
Senate File 110, introduced by Senator Bebout, an act relating to real estate licensees, designated real estate agents, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senate File 110, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly. Connolly, Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Dirks,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales, Hallinan,
aye.
Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart excused, Lubno,
no.
Madden,
aye.
McKim, McComey,
aye.
Mercer,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
no.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Semlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Steward,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 2 noes, 1 excused.
Senate File 110, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 110 has passed the House. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll stand at ease for just a minute. The third reading amendment on Senate File 19, corrected copy, is being passed out. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 19.
Senate File 19, introduced by the Mental Health Committee, an act relating to emergency detention and involuntary hospitalization costs, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number one. What this does is on page 2, line 5, we have the word interviewed, and so we're deleting the word interviewed and making it a little bit more official, obtained or made reasonable effort to obtain from, and then we put in there an affidavit showing the patient's financial condition, which would support certification of the facts under paragraph 2. So just sort of cleaning up the language a little bit, that you need to get an affidavit, actually, and not just interview the patient.
Anyone else for their first time? Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess my only question in changing that language, you've said obtained or made reasonable effort to obtain from, you know, at least in my mind, and maybe I'm wrong, the word interview meant that they had a face-to-face or a telephone conversation with the person, whereas now we're kind of loosening it up by saying they made a reasonable effort to obtain the information. So is reasonable effort, you know, I called them 3 times and left messages and they never called me back. And then if they don't get in contact with them, I guess I don't even know how they would do an affidavit showing their financial condition. So it's just some comments on the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time? Chairman Gingrey, did you wish a second time?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The idea was that they, there are some people you're just not going to be able to get hold of. And to hold up the payment from the county to the hospital, because maybe you've just lost track of the person. So many of these people with mental health issues disappear from one town to the next, and to require them to actually get the affidavit in those situations where the person is transient and has just moved on was the difficult part. So we were trying to build in a little bit of leeway to allow for those people that perhaps are transient and you just can't find them anymore.
We are on third reading amendment number 1 of Senate File 19. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. So third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 19 has passed. Senate File 19 having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Cohey, aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Dirks,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan,
aye.
Hallinan,
aye.
Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart excused. Lubnow.
Franklin.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Mercer.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlich.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Conflict.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 1 excused, 2 conflict.
Senate File 19, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 19 has passed the House. We're at that order of business of request to concur with Senate amendments to House bills. Ladies and gentlemen, you should have a packet with the concurrence requests and the agenda order. And the first item is message 236 to House Bill 11. Chairman Childers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence on message. I move message number 236, and I request concurrence on House Bill 11. And ladies and gentlemen, if you will refer to your engrossed copy of House Bill 11, I will explain the minor amendments. Basically, in the title, Dogs Chasing Wildlife, it was changed to from chasing to harassing. Line 2, after the word dogs, add harassing, so it would be dogs harassing, injuring, or threatening big game animals. And then on page 2 for the First Amendment, line 1, after the word 2, add harass, which would be harass, injure, or threaten a big game animal. And then the Second Amendment, on page 1, line 16, it changed the word from negligently to recklessly. And I would request your aye vote on the amendment, unless there's any questions.
Representative Shepperson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess we deliberately took out the word harass in our version, and so I don't know if you have any explanation as to why they put that back in, and if we don't have that, then I guess I would request your no vote so we can get some more information on that.
Well, Mr. Speaker, minor change, and I know we did discuss taking out the word harass, but simply the dogs just chasing the wildlife versus harass. We do have cases that the landowners actually have their dogs push the wildlife off their hay crops and so forth, and as far as I'm concerned, that's acceptable. They're usually controlled situations, but changing it to harass changes it to a point that, in other words, they are actually affecting the wildlife in a negative manner.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, would you come up, please? Madam Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I guess I'd like also an explanation, because I think one of the things that they deleted negligently, and to me that is a higher standard of proof, and they've inserted recklessly. So to me, Now we've lowered the threshold for which you can be charged with this crime. That seems to me to be the biggest change in this bill, no? Or am I reading that the wrong way,
right.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Speaker?
Representative Brechtel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, I too would encourage a no vote on this. I mean, at this point now, what would harass really mean? As was mentioned, once we lower the standard, does a dog barking from a car or from his pen or something, it could almost be harassment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem.
Mr. Speaker,
pro tem, thank you. On page 1, line 16 of the bill, it would now read, it is unlawful for any person to knowingly or recklessly allow or direct a dog which he owns or is under his control to harass, injure, or threaten a big game animal with injury. I like the word recklessly for negligently, but there's still an or between knowingly or recklessly allow. So if you knowingly allow your dog to harass, injure, or threaten a big game animal, the conviction is a low misdemeanor. I don't know. I just know my dogs. When I'm out in the sagebrush and one of them sees a deer and they run off and I scream my head off and do everything I can to get him to come back. The only way he doesn't hurt. Well, it could be harassing or my inability to train my dog to come back is a crime. So that bothers me a bit. But maybe we should go back to the Senate and just talk about the knowingly or recklessly. Maybe it should be knowingly and recklessly. If I do everything I can to try and get my animal to come back, I'm not acting recklessly, and I'm not acting knowingly. But so that part of it, and then the harassment, we did have a debate in here about that. So I thought I was going to come down here and say everything's okay, but I'm not sure that it is. Thanks.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem, recklessly is a defined term in the Wyoming statutes. It's 61104B, Romanet 9. Recklessly is defined as the following conduct. A person acts recklessly when he consciously disregards a substantial and unjustifiable risk that the harm he is accused of causing will occur, and the harm results. The risk shall be of such nature and degree that disregarding it constitutes a gross deviation from the standard of conduct that a reasonable person would observe in the situation. And I would submit that maybe that's a better term than negligently. I kind of got up all huffed up over reckless too, but after I read that definition, I remember one time in a footnote in a horn book, the author was talking about negligence and gross negligence, which is getting close to reckless. He said, well, if negligence is a fire to use the care that a careful man would use, and gross negligence must be the failure to use the care that a careless man would use. A little humor there. Nobody's laughing.
That was reckless humor.
That's reckless humor. Yes, it is.
But I think the longer I think about this definition, I think I'm okay with reckless. I think it comes closer to what we say, that when we want to penalize somebody is when they consciously disregard a substantial and unjustifiable risk that the harm he's accused of causing will occur, and then the harm results. So I'm on and for concurrence, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Okay. Anybody else for the second time? Representative Shepherdson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I guess I just am not comfortable, and I would request your no vote on concurrence. Let's go back to committee and talk about this, that the knowingly or recklessly, should it be and or, and then the harass still bothers me. So I'm requesting your no vote. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I suggest we go back and simply suggest to the Senate that it should say it is unlawful for any person to recklessly allow or direct. Take out knowingly. You have to act knowingly to act recklessly, typically. I think that recklessly could be the standard. The or in there confuses it unnecessarily.
Okay. Mr. Chairman Childers.
Well, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, while I feel a train wreck going on here, sounded good to me, but I'll do whatever the body wants.
Okay.
Question.
Okay. Question being called. Will the Chief Clerk call the roll?
Anderson.
Message 236.
Bagby.
No.
Barbudo.
No.
Berger.
No.
Blake.
No.
Bonner.
No.
Brechtel.
No.
Brown.
No.
Buchanan.
No.
Bird.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Carson.
No.
Childers.
No.
Cohey.
No.
Cohey.
No.
Connolly.
No.
Kraft.
No.
Davison.
No.
Dirks.
No.
Edmonds,
no.
Esquivel,
no.
Gilmore,
no.
Gingery,
no.
Goggles,
no.
Hales,
no.
Hallinan,
no.
Hammonds,
no.
Harshman, Harshman? Harshman? Harshman, would you clarify your vote, please?
No.
Harvey.
No.
Illaway.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Jorgensen.
No.
Landon.
No.
Lockhart excused. Lubno.
No.
Madden. McKim.
No.
McComey.
No.
Mercer.
No.
Meyer.
No.
Miller.
No.
Millen.
No.
Moniz.
No.
Patton.
No.
Peasley. Pedersen,
no.
Peterson,
no.
Philp, Philp,
no.
Korberg,
no.
Roscoe,
no.
Semlich,
no.
Shepperson,
no.
Steward,
no.
Stubson,
no.
Teeters,
no.
Thompson,
no.
Throne,
no.
Wallace,
no.
Zwanitzer Dan,
no.
Zwanitzer Dave,
no.
Mr. Speaker,
no.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 2 ayes, 57 noes, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have voted not to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 11. The next message for our consideration is message number 237 on House Bill 19. Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move message number 237. I move the concurrence of message number 237 and would ask for your aye vote. What they did over on the other side was we had 30 days to do an evaluation, and I actually was over in their committee when they were debating this. There was some testimony from the state hospital that they actually wanted 45 days, and so the Senate changed it from 30 to 45. And then they put in there, instead of using the word study, they thought that was a strange word to use when you're determining whether someone's mentally ill. So the Senate changed it to observation and evaluation, and then they allowed for the court to extend the amount of time that the observation was occurring. So it had more to do with just extending the time limit a little bit, and I would urge you to vote aye.
Anyone else on message 237? We are voting on the motion to concur with the Senate amendments to House Bill 19. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Hallinan,
Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart excused, Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Mercer,
aye.
Mercer,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Semlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 19. Next message for our consideration is message number 247. Senate amendments to House Bill 20. Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence with message number 247 and would ask for your aye vote. What they did over on the Senate side, you'll see there, first of all, the standing committee amendment. What they were trying to say was the administration of the drugs had to be done by a psychiatrist. So they stuck in by a psychiatrist. Well, then on the floor, they delete the standing committee amendment that they had, and they instead put in better language. It was pursuant to a prescription by a licensed psychiatrist, because they had some debate as to, if you just leave it as by a psychiatrist, does that imply that the psychiatrist has to actually do the needle each time or hand the pill to the person each time, when clearly once the prescription's done, a nurse can do that. So that was the clarification there, and I'd urge you to vote aye.
Anyone else for their first time on message 247? Or second time? We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 20. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft. Davison,
aye.
Dirks,
no.
Edmonds,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan,
aye.
Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Landon, Lockhart excused, Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim, McComey,
aye.
Mercer,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp,
aye.
Korberg,
no.
Roscoe,
aye.
Semlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Brechtel? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 56 ayes, 3 noes, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 20. The next message for our consideration is message number 234 on House Bill 62. Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move concurrence on House Bill 62 and ask you to vote no. Mr. Speaker, the changes to this bill changed the first part of this from the Board of Education to the Superintendent of Public Instruction. And that's probably a good change. However, when I was reviewing these changes with the staff, we discovered a technical correction that needs to be made in the title of the bill. So that's why I ask you to vote no on the concurrence.
Anyone else for their first time? We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 62. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
No.
Bagby.
No.
Barbudo.
No.
Berger.
No.
Blake.
No.
Bonner.
No.
Brechtel.
No.
Brown.
No.
Buchanan.
No.
Byrd.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Carson.
No.
Childers.
No.
Cohey.
No.
Connolly.
No.
Kraft.
No.
Davison.
No.
Dirks.
No.
Edmonds.
No.
Esquivel.
No.
Gilmore.
No.
Gingery.
No.
Goggles.
No.
Hales.
No.
Hallinan.
No.
Hammonds.
No.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
No.
Illaway.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Jorgensen.
No.
Landon.
No.
Lockhart excused. Lubno. Madden,
no.
McKim,
no.
McComey,
no.
Mercer,
no.
Meyer,
no.
Miller,
no.
Millen,
no.
Moniz,
no.
Patton,
no.
Peasley,
no.
Pedersen,
no.
Peterson,
no.
Philp,
no.
Korberg,
no.
Roscoe,
no.
Simlick,
no.
Shepperson,
no.
Stewart,
no.
Stubson,
no.
Teeters, Teeters,
no.
Thompson,
Throne.
No. Wallace.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
No.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 noes, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have voted not to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 62. The conference committee for House Bill 62 will be Chairman McComey as chair, Edmonds and Dan Zwanitzer. The Conference Committee on House Bill 11 will be Brown, Chair, Peasley, and Shepperson. We are at that order of business of bills on general file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the committee or the House resolve itself in the committee of the whole. And ladies and gentlemen, move Senate File 33 down past Senate File 72.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
We are, the House is resolved into committee of the whole. Representative Bonner.
The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 130. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 130, introduced by Senator Ross, an act relating to child abuse. This bill was referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Begbie, Barbudo, Kennedy, Gingrey, Mercer, Patton, Peasley, Quarburg, Throne. Signed, representing Gingrey, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 130 do pass, and I would like to turn over the explanation of the bill to the good representative from Carbon County.
Representative Begbie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I bring to you Senate File 130, House Abuse Penalties, sponsored by Senator Ross. The background of this bill is this. The present law is that if a defendant abuses a child in a reckless or intentional manner, the most that that person can be sentenced to is 5 years. There have been cases in particular here in the county that we set today in which children have been abused severely, with the DA unable to ask for more than 5 years. One particular case, the father beat the child to the point that part of the baby's skull had to be removed in order to release pressure on the brain. And that baby may require around-the-clock treatment for the rest of her life. The child had a steel plate inserted in its head and may require several operations as the child grows and the skull grows larger. The issue here is severe child abuse, and it is treated the same way in the statutes as all kinds of child abuse. The polity's decision is whether to create a new crime of aggravated child abuse to give higher sentences for the most serious child abuse charges. The solution is this. The bill creates a new crime of aggravated child abuse that adds the extra element to child abuse of intentionally or recklessly inflicting serious bodily injury. Serious bodily injury is already defined in the statute as bodily injury which creates a substantial risk of death or which causes a miscarriage, severe disfigurement, or protracted loss of impairment of the function of any body, member, or organ. A maximum penalty of 25 years is a punishment which is from the which we are trying to get in this bill, and right now it's the existing punishment is 5 years maximum. There are no minimum mandatory sentences in this bill. This bill also removes the prohibition of stacking the charge with aggravated assault and batteries. At that, Mr. Chairman, I'll run through the bill right quick. And if you go to page one, line one, this is an act relating to child abuse, eliminating exceptions, providing for an additional penalty, and providing for an effective date. This bill will create a new subsection C. If you drop down to page one, line 13, it says, a person who is not responsible for a child's welfare as defined by WS 14-3202 is guilty of child abuse, a felony punishable by imprisonment of not more than 5 years. A person is guilty of child abuse, a felony punishable by imprisonment of not more than 5 years. If a person is responsible for a child's welfare, as defined in the statutes, intentionally or recklessly inflicts upon a child under the age of 18. Now, what the bill is trying to do, Mr. Chairman, is to create a new subsection C, which reads, aggravated child abuse is a felony punishable by imprisonment of not more than 25 years, if in the course of committing the crime of child abuse, as defined in subsection A or B of this section, the person intentionally or recklessly inflicts serious bodily energy upon the victim. At that, Mr. Chairman, I would stand for questions. If there is no question, I would call for the question.
Is there further discussion on the bill?
Mr. Chairman,
Speaker.
I'm just wondering, could you tell me again, the language that's stricken on page 1, lines 12 and 13, except under circumstances constituting a violation of WS62502, what is 62502? That's the aggravated battery? I've got it here.
Here it is right here, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you. So what the law was that except under aggravated battery, person who is not responsible for a child welfare is guilty of child abuse, a felony. I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. I'm just having a problem understanding this bill. So the current law accepted out aggravated assault and battery. And said, in cases other than aggravated assault and battery, a person who's not responsible for the child's welfare is guilty of a felony punishable by imprisonment by not more than 5 years if they meet the elements of 62503. And then if they do meet those elements, aggravated child abuse is a felony punishable by imprisonment for not more than 25. If in the course of committing the crime, the person intentionally or recklessly inflicts bodily injury upon the victim. Okay, sorry, Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Representative Brechtel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Line 13, page 2, intentionally or recklessly inflict serious bodily injury. I guess my question is, if a person is cited for example reckless driving, what would be their line of defense against this statute? Thank you.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to clarify some of the speakers, well, I don't know if those are questions, but just to clarify some of his pauses, I guess. The bill's doing two different things, and it came about from a case here in this city. A defendant beat a child to the point where that child's now forever probably not going to, or will most probably, have to have 24-hour care that the child can respond a little bit to certain stimuli. The difficulty was it was such an egregious case, but how we've structured these laws is the most the DA could get was 5 years, even though everyone agreed that he should have gotten a tougher sentence. But how we've written the law, the most you can get for abusing a child is 5 years. The difficulty is that first part where it's exempting out, it says except under circumstances constitutional violation of 62502. What that section was doing was keeping the prosecutor from what we call stacking, where you do two charges on the same crime, and that way you can stack the sentences and get a bigger sentence on an individual. So the first thing it does is it allows you to charge both the child abuse charge and an aggravated battery on the individual and then stack the charges. The second thing it does, it allows a new crime to be created, the crime of aggravated child abuse. Aggravated child abuse is the same as child abuse except with the additional element of intentional or recklessly inflicting serious bodily injury. Again, intentionally or recklessly, you go up the level of standards, recklessly, well, willfully at the very top, but then recklessly and then intentionally. So those are your high standards, and then below that would be like negligently, which is not what this is. So you got to meet a pretty high standard that you intended to hurt this child. It wasn't just an accident. And so that's what the bill does, and I would urge you to vote aye on the bill.
Representative Hammonds.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had the occasion where I did a TV documentary on foster care in Wyoming. And during that, I met a woman who had decided to adopt a shaken syndrome baby. And I think for all of us in here who have experienced life, we know that sometimes there are tragically things worse than death. And I think these children who have had this kind of abuse are beyond the pale, that you cannot believe a human being would do this to another human being. Interestingly enough, because we did the wildlife being chased by dogs concurrence previously, we've had the definition for reckless read to us. And any thinking person would not do to an infant or a child what these individuals do. And in fact, from my perspective, it is worse than death, because these babies who become teenagers, who become adults, they don't die. They live in a practically vegetative state. And it does take 24-hour-a-day care. And it is so tragic. And the fact that you could only charge the person with 5 years for taking away the life of an infant recklessly, knowing what they're doing, it is beyond what any human being would do to someone else. I think that for that reason, I can only consider voting aye on this particular bill.
Representative Bagby.
Well, I didn't have anything else to say, Mr. Chairman. I think everything's been said. I would call for the question.
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Gingrey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number Senate File 130 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 130 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 16. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 16, introduced by Senator Burns, an act relating to state symbols regarding the state butterfly.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Childers.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 16 engrossed do pass, and I will turn over explanation of the bill to the good representative from House District 51.
Chairman Berger.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's a privilege to flutter before you this morning. And that I bring you a bill that does not have an appropriation involved. But it's a great honor to really present the state butterfly bill, Senate File 16. This has been a terrific learning experience for my young constituents from the community that I live in. And we started about 18 months ago with this process of convening and collaborating and deciding on what we should choose for a state insect, first off. And in the year's process of learning about the legislative process and inquiring and getting expert advice, the class came back together this fall and decided that they would only concentrate on recommending a state butterfly so that other young people in the state of Wyoming would have the opportunity to possibly decide on a state insect. And some of you may ask why the Sheridan Green Hair Streak butterfly, and they decided that there were only two that were really unique to Wyoming that actually live in Wyoming and that could be easily identified between spring, March, and June. They thought that it brought a nice sign of spring. It's green, it's vibrant. They actually think that it would have some tourism value for marketing and advertising. And most important, that it's not a pest, that it's important to our agricultural industry, and that 16 states already have honeybees, and since we've already dealt with the cutter bee, we didn't need a honeybee as the state insect. So that's how they got to the choice of a Sheridan Green Hair Streak. It's been the most amazing experience for me because it really just signifies the importance of us as representatives in our communities and working in our education system. I've brought together my community with their parents, their educators. We've actually used Room 302, the video conferencing, so that the students could participate. And so I ask for your favorable eye on the green Sheridan Green Hair Streak butterfly. And stand for questions.
Who is it? Who is it? Representative Stubson?
Mr. Chairman, I stand before you with grave concerns about the bill that lies before us. It and this stretches beyond just the merits of whether we should or should not have a butterfly. But I was stricken with shock when I learned that the proposed butterfly only is documented in 11 counties in this state. Only 11 counties. There are butterflies, and in fact, the Coronis fritillary is one, which has been documented in every county in the state. And don't you think that if we're going to name a state butterfly, every child in this state should be able to walk out their front door and see that butterfly? Isn't it a shame for us to draw artificial barriers so that only children in those 11 counties can see this butterfly? So it is a matter of grave concern to me. I would urge you to vote no on this bill so that we can maybe look at it over the interim and come back with a truly statewide butterfly.
Chairman Berger, is there a rejoinder?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that these young folks chose this butterfly so that it would encourage their fellow students to get out into the base of the Bighorn Mountains and experience the Sheridan Green Hair Streak butterfly. Exercise is very important to their daily life.
Representative Thompson.
Thank you. A long time ago when I was in front of the classroom, as I looked out on those beautiful people, my students, I said, I wish you could see you. You see what I see. And in response to maybe some of that consternation for the 11 counties and so on, but I wish those of you who weren't at that committee had been there and would have seen the quality presentation and the amazing maturity in response that these young people, as they testified, and they were jabbed just a little bit, just kind of like we are. There's a little bit of humor here involved. They were deadly, sincerely serious, and cool about the whole thing. Matter of fact, I think there were some lessons given to some of us on the committee from those young ones presenting their ideas. And I was so amazed and so impressed. And one more time, If I had students like that all the time and knowingly that I would have them in the classroom, I may still be in the classroom from that benefit. And in response to that committee meeting that I was in the classroom. Thank you.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have some real reservations, and when I went into the committee meeting, I thought, well, I'll kind of put this Sheridan butterfly in its place, and so I, the little fellers gave all their talking points, and I said, thanks for all those things, but why in the world would we want a Sheridan butterfly for a Wyoming state insect? For a butterfly, and little guy looked at the chairman, Mr. Chairman, representative, this butterfly is not a Sheridan butterfly. It's named after General Sheridan, who was all over the state, and this butterfly is found all over the state. And I just withdrew, and everybody clapped, and I voted for it.
Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A question for the sponsor. What kind of protections are afforded with this honor? I'm wondering what would happen if I were to find one of these on the front grill of my pickup truck.
Representative Bagby. Oh.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I feel a little bit of worry and concern over this bill, because what worries me is if this bill passes, Senator Burns' wife will be called Madam Butterfly, standing in support of the bill.
Well,
Chairman Berger,
that is a concern in my neighborhood, to have Madam Butterfly. But back to the question in regards to the endangerment of this butterfly, if it gets elevated to a new position as our state symbol, is that what was important from my young people in testifying is that it isn't on the endangered species list, and therefore, if more people are familiar with this butterfly and its color, they'll be on the lookout for it. So hopefully it won't hit that windshield. I think it's important, too, to notice that not everyone has the short-horned lizard as this, which is the state reptile, or a state dinosaur in their county, or a rodeo in their event, and possibly not even the state grass, which is the western wheatgrass, may not be in your county. So I don't think that any of our 17 symbols that we have today are all-inclusive, and therefore I would ask for your support.
Any further discussion? Are you ready for the question? The question having been called for, all those in favor of Chairman Childers' motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it does so with the recommendation that Senate File 16 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Senate File 16 is passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 38. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 38, introduced by the Transportation Committee, an act relating to the Federal Real ID Act compliance. This bill was referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, and they recommended it do pass. Ayes Blake, Carson, Cohey, Gilmore, Hallinan, McKim, Peterson, Zwanitzer, Dave. No, Madden. Signed, Representative Cohey, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Cohey?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 38 do pass. Members of the House, what Senate File 38 does, it deals with the Federal Real ID Act implemented several years ago, post 9/11. Changes in the bill provide Wyoming's driver's license section, the people that manage where we get our driver's licenses, to move forward with a personal ID system pursuant to Federal Department of Homeland Security requirements. You'll notably in our sections 7 and 31 in our Wyoming statutes. Much of the conversation refers to requirements of the Department of Transportation and certain specifics with regard to application of retention of a driver's license and or a real ID card should you not have a driver's license. As our country moves forward to a system of a commonly accepted uniform ID system, there are about 15 or 20 changes in the Wyoming statute suggested in the bill. I'll go down through a few of them and what they do. It permits criminal justice personnel to release work history check information on driver's license personnel. Wyoming YDOT personnel have to be, take a background check, criminal background check, to make certain that the information that they're going to procure from you and I is going to remain sensitive. It does require driver's license personnel to submit to the background check. It adds requirements for background checks to all employees, both public and private, that are involved in the license and the ID process. It requires all driver's license personnel to attend fraudulent document training. It adds options to notify other states of license issuances versus mailing them. Then we move on down to it adds requirements to provide proof of residence when you apply for a driver's license in the future or a real ID card that you will have to show proof of your residence. Should you change your residence, you will have to notify the department for an improvement on your license or an update. It establishes acceptable documents for proof of identity, certain things like passports, birth certificates. It allows the department to keep a photocopy of that documentation. Goes on down, it permits exception process for authorized legal purposes, removes old language for the photo requirement for the military personnel. It changes the address requirement on the license from a mailing address to a residential address, removes the option for a social security number on a driver's license or a real ID card. It establishes a requirement for a digital photo as opposed to any type of the photo system. It permits the department to require additional information as per federal law. Clarifies the hazmat endorsement on a commercial driver's license that it's only valid up to 6 years without retesting. It permits mail-in renewal unless a material change in information is required from the department. Changes ID requirements to add the full legal name. You can't use a initial anymore. You have to use your full legal name. And requirements to provide to the department social security numbers and date of birth for their retention only, not on the license. It requires and establishes a signature requirement that it match that on the driver's license. Sets an expiration date on an ID card to 8 years, expiring on one's birthday. Requires applicant to present documentation to the department for material changes on the ID card should you have some material change, such as a marital status or address change. You need to submit that to the department for a change on the ID card. It does require the department to send ID card holders a renewal application 120 days prior to the expiration of the card or the license, and it provides for a free ID card for individuals that must surrender the driver's license for a medical reason to obtain a real ID card. That's the explanation of the bill, Mr. Chairman, and I stand for questions.
Madam Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman and my good colleague from Natrona County and I, two questions. First of all, refresh my memory about why, I mean, I realize that the Real ID Act is a result of September 11th, but what's the consequences if we don't start conforming to all of the federal government's rules and regulations? That's number one. And then I have some real concerns on page 8, where on your driver's license, we're now going to have the principal residence address. So if that gets lost, I guess it falls into the wrong hands, that person just automatically knows now where you live. And then that catch-all on page 8, lines 17 and 18, that we're going to give YDOT, they can just go out and require any information to comply with federal law. I mean, to me, this just is kind of just opening everything up wide open. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Cohey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The consequences of Wyoming literally stopping its process at this point, it hasn't been explained. Wyoming continues on as the other 49 states and the District of Columbia and other protectorates of the federal government have Should we stop this process, process at this point, what would happen is, should the federal government enact consequences to the state of Wyoming or any other state for failure to enact corresponding legislation, that would put our YDOT behind. Being a state of only 550,000 people, what's going to happen? YDOT is looking at this point, or our agency is looking at this point, for about five additional personnel in their driver's license and real ID department check over the next few years to manage this flow and all of the information that's going to have to be gathered. What it would do, should we just simply say here today, or failure to move this legislation forward, would to put our department at a point where it can no longer continue doing what it's doing, furthering its enactment abilities to basically correspond with the requests and the requirements and maybe the demands of the federal government. That will put us behind at some point. The representative from House District 28 did ask an important question about the residential address of an individual. That is, again, a requirement of the federal government that, frankly, call it big brotherism if you wish, that the federal government really feels it has the need to know where everybody lives at and where they can be found. That's just the requirement that was requested of the state of Wyoming along with the other states and protectorates in the Union, and that is life in the United States as we know it. Other information that may be required from the department, how onerous could that get over the years? That is up to the minds of the people in this body and the state. Currently, it's a birth certificate, passports, other things that could identify exactly who you specifically are, and your places of origin and those types of things.
Chairman Childers.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Not speaking on or against the bill, but more of a question. Was there a task force formed by the federal government that brought in state representatives like from our Department of Transportation that worked through how this is supposed to be, the requirements and how it's supposed to be handled, or did the federal government in their infinite wisdom just do it themselves and lay it out to us? That's my only question.
Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There's some real resistance to this ID deal throughout the states, and many of them are trying to resist it. But the real reason to do it is that if the federals institute it, you won't be able to get on an airplane without this new ID. That's where the rubber hits the road. And if you want to fly commercially, you'll need this. And so I think the state should go ahead and start processing this so they don't get way behind. However, there are some real questions of involved in it, and I think the expense of it is should be investigated. And it really will get expensive if we wait until all of a sudden everybody's got to do it all at the same time. So I think that those are some of the thoughts that I have on this real ID. And I want you to know that there are a lot of states that are firmly resisting to do this. That doesn't mean it won't go through.
Chairman Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the on page 5, I had a question on line 14 concerning the proof of residence, and was wondering whether or not there was conversation in the committee with the department as to what it takes to constitute that and fulfill that requirement.
Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wasn't necessarily going to speak on this, but I might as well speak my piece. I fundamentally want to dig my heels in on this and say no. I think the federal government continues to give us mandates that are unfunded, that continue to erode states' rights. And if there are other states that are not going to comply, that we should join that force and continue to not comply. I doubt very seriously that we're going to wake up tomorrow and not be able to get on an airplane. I don't think that's going to happen. The federal government's going to have to work this out, and I really have a hard time with the federal government coming in and telling the states how they should set up their driver's licenses and their IDs. I would urge you to vote no.
Chairman Cohey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To my good friend from Park County, had asked about a task force, and certainly there was some conversation with the original enactment and implementation of this legislation in Wyoming statutory language with the Department of Homeland Security and the TSA administration with the United States government, with our driver's license department, as to what the expectations were going to be. They came before this body several years ago and said, we need these things to comply with federal language and what's being strongly urged and recommended by the federal government. And so here's what we need to do. And we all said, okay, I guess in that wisdom, that we're being drugged to the water to drink, that that is something that we obviously ought to do. This is the next step. It's kind of one of those, to my good friend from House District 5, you know, the federal government sets the bar and the states move to it. And then the federal government sets the bar a little further and the states move to it. That's the implementation we are in at this state right now. Our driver's license section has had an ongoing discussion with the federal government to the point that, even though we didn't mention it the other night, but the manager of that particular section utilizes about 10 to 15 hours per week of his time on this particular issue. To my good friend from House District 10, he had mentioned that getting on an airplane is going to be increasingly difficult. That is true, that it's going to be expected that you will have a form of real ID, whether it be a driver's license or just an identification plate of some type, that you will have to go through some other form of, I mean, if you feel like getting half undressed at a line to get on an airplane now is a little bit onerous, wait until you don't have a real ID card. They'll be examining places that you probably don't want to. So, you know, the discussion of YDOT, and currently they had indicated that over the next year or two that they will have to add as many as five people, you can just assure yourself that there will be a request before this body over the next, as that occurs, for increases in the cost of driver's licenses in this state, which we've had those ongoing conversations, that due to that effort by the Wyoming Department of Transit, well, the agency that covers our driver's licenses, that they will be looking for more people. But they're trying to keep it as simple as they possibly can. Should we fail to, they say, should we fail to make these changes necessary for their implementation at this point, their fear is that the federal government will come along at some point and say, how come you haven't done this? That compliance is going to have to be met 9 months from whatever date, and that the concern of the agency is they may have to add as many as, who knows, multiples of that figure of five just to simply get out and get the work done in a very, very short time frame. The proof of residence was discussed a little bit during the committee meeting, and basically it was just, you know, identification of where you live, some form of postal receipt or some identification of exactly where the residence is. Let's be clear about it. The federal government wants to know where to get people should they need to find out where they are. And to my good friend from House District 5, just say no. I think there are some states that are considering that right now, but the consequences could be fairly dire as presented to the committee by the agency that manages driver's license. So, you know, you can pay it now or you can pay it later, but I can guarantee you that with the way the federal government is behaving lately, I'm sure you'll be paying later.
Is there further discussion on the bill? Are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Cohey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that Senate File 38 do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Senate File 38 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that the Committee of the Whole beg leave to rise and sit again at 2 p.m.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Committee will have committee reports. Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet tomorrow upon noon recess in House 18. We'll take up 4 bills, Senate File 26, Engrossed, Voter Registration Deadline, Senate File 28, Licensing of Entertainment Activities, Senate File 12, Campaign Contributions, Senate File 94, Engrossed, Campaign Finance Reporting Election Periods. And the Conference Committee on House Bill 25 will meet tomorrow in House 18 at 8:30.
Chairman Landon.
Mr. Chairman, your committee number 10, Labor, will meet this afternoon upon adjournment in 8:17 to hear Senate File 106, Medication Disposal Program, and Senate File 49, Psychologist Licensure.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Mr. Chairman, the Republican Caucus will meet at the garden level in the Hirschler Building as soon as we get done here.
Chairman McCoy.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 4, Education, will meet today upon adjournment in room H10, where we will take up Senate File 47, Engrossed, Hathaway Student Scholarship Program Administration, Senate File 52, Engrossed, School Bus Seatbelts, and Senate File 35, Youth Access to Tobacco Cessation Programs.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. to take up one bill, Senate File 107, Court Supervised Treatment Programs Act.
The House is in recess.